to occupy Christchurch, obviously where the quake hit, and occupy Auckland, which has about 700 plus people who have liked the event thus far, and 900 plus people attending, right? So it's going to be a pretty big worldwide, nationwide, double-wide caravan event.
It is. It absolutely is. Vinny, and it's going to keep growing. This is where we are. I mean, we are entering the crisis of reality. I think the momentum is certainly now on civil unrest. And I want to say that I noticed your Fair Nation received another downgrade since the last time I had you on the program. So maybe next week I need to get you on so we can talk about how the United States still outranks New Zealand as far as S&P and Moody's credit rating. So I just wanted to bring that up real quick.
Well, that doesn't surprise me in the least, because 87% of New Zealand's debt is owned to foreigners. So that means foreigners own 87% of our country. And, of course, that means we're a free nation. it means we're totally independent. It means we've got it down. But the one thing I really wanted to talk about, these Occupy things, is that there is also another result on the Facebook search here. Occupy the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. Okay. We've got a Fed just like the States does. And what I find is important, and a lot of people have been agreeing with me on this, is that the Occupy Wall Street is kind of being run by a whole bunch of leftists who are going, oh, capitalism's the problem. Capitalism isn't the problem. It's the globalists, the ones who own the private banking cartels, that are the problem. Sure, Wall Street are part of that, but it's not capitalism. Capitalism has virtually nothing to do with it. We haven't had capitalism for, what, 60 years or something like that? It's just been crony capitalism.
Yeah, and for the, you know, we don't have to go back that far. I mean, in order to, in the process of trying to wake people up, it's hard when you go back and you go back to the Civil War in this country anyway, and say this is when all the injustice began, or 1913 with the Federal Reserve. We don't have to go back 40 years. We can go back to show the dismantling of the infrastructure and the enslavement of the Pacific Rim in order that we can increase profits for certain corporations. That's all true, but we only have to go back a couple of years to realize that the last semblance of capitalism completely and utterly died. And when we hear people blaming capitalism for where we're at now, they have a right, I believe, and it's justified to have this anger, but they're blaming something that isn't capitalism. In capitalism, you don't take hundreds of trillions of dollars of failure from private companies and then put it on the backs of the people and call that capitalism. That's absolutely not capitalism. It's fascism. So when people are out protesting, you know, if they wanted to be accurate, they would protest fascism. And in fact, if you put the word fascism and country back to back, space in between them in a Google search bar, you'll be amazed at what it brings up for you. It says the closest example is United States of America. I'm not making that up. Jump on Google and figure that out. But, yeah, Vinny, you're right. Protesting capitalism or blaming capitalism is wrong, but the anger, the frustration is justified. And that's why, as far as my program goes, go ahead.
Ergo, it needs to be directed at the appropriate place. Okay, you know, this is the real thing. Once you've got people motivated, then you need to direct them. And I'm not really sure how exactly that's going to be accomplished, but if you can stop them from saying capitalism, 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 and start them saying end the Fed, end the Fed, end the Fed, I think we'll get a much better result out of it. Apparently, Ron Paul is now going to be head of the committee for the very first auditing of the Fed. I'd like to say congratulations to Dr. Ron Paul for that one. Other than that, I found an interesting definition for fascism the other day while I was watching a little documentary one of my listeners sent me. Check this. Fascism. Through public-private partnerships, the balance of power shifts from the people to the partner who has the most money. The partner is basically just a redefinition for citizen. As the power shifts to the deepest pockets, or the corporation, we have then moved into fascism, ruled by big, reinvented government and big business. Number one, the downsizing of federal government in order to fit into the future global governance. And number two, the government shift to privatization of public services through public-private partnerships. Now, I'm acting under the assumption that you guys are getting PPPs, public-private partnerships, popping up all over the place like they were chicken pox or something like
we're,
that.
We're peed on every day, Vinny. There's everything down, even like this InfraGuard, which in a time of crisis, businesses themselves basically give police-like authority. Certain businesses that are considered necessary to the survival of the nation and the infrastructure, their own employees basically get police powers, and so in a time of crisis they can shoot you or me for whatever reason they come up with.
Yeah, like the McDonald's brand handgun.
Well, if you're a Hamburglar, you got it coming to you. You got to understand, Vinny. I mean, that's the dynamic we live in. And of course, everything changed after 9/11. Including the sun, the way it comes up, all that. Everything's different. Even the food tastes different now since 9/11.
They'll turn you into burgers now, you know. Get on the bun! Get on the bun!
Get on the bun. Yeah, it's not, don't you want to be on this delicious bun? No, you don't. It's a GMO piece of crap. But get on the frickin' bun!
Hey, well, did you know that McDonald's is now making their burger buns with bone meal and feathers?
Well, hey, round up, bun around.
That is
whatever
not
you got, bone and feathers. It's like fee, fi, fo, fum, or grind children's bones to make my hamburger bun.
Maybe down in New Zealand, I don't know. But
I don't know either. That's a new one on me. Although I did talk several months ago about a new rice that is being developed inside of China that has plastic as one of its components, so they can feed their 1.4 billion citizens that are going to be starving to death. You know, and look, here's the thing. I think United We Strike is an absolutely wonderful endeavor that Karen Quinn Golden Tongue Tostado began some time ago. And look at where we're at now, guys. You know, all across the country and world, Vinny, we have people out this weekend in these Occupy rallies. I mean, if they're happening in Montana, Missoula, Montana, they're happening everywhere. And, I think going forward, the message that we need to send out is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a capitalist, a communist, if you're red team, blue team. It's irrelevant. The true power structure that the globe is seeing right now is the very, very small minority, the haves, and the ever-expanding have-nots.
There's a huge divide. And we go back to the Great Depression. It was exactly the same instance here. And what do you have? Well, you have government come up over the horizon. I'm reading a book right now where Roosevelt basically goes in and tries to take on Congress and the courts by trying to expand the court, the Supreme Court, to 15 people. This is in 1937. And Lord, literally, government is deemed the answer. And that's what I think the result of some of this Occupy protests are going to be about is how do we roll all this back to make it the government as the panacea and the fix and the resolution to everything. And I think that's why you have so many people that are running around the supposed left of the false left-right paradigm playing the game that they're playing now. Why all these yo-yos are showing up, like Roseanne Barr and Cornel West and Michael Moore, they're all showing up. But there are these people that have got it right. That it is the monetary system, it's the Federal Reserve that's got to be gone, it's the people inside of government that support these type of things that need to be gone. That's the answer. But again, you see these things co-opted so early on,
right.
when these groups need a helping hand. Just look at the Tea Party. Tea Party needed a helping hand. There was Dick Armey. Oh, I tell you what, we'll get you a stage, we'll get you a sound system. I can even bring you guys to deliver speeches. All it's going to cost you is your organization.
Yeah, exactly. And now we have a Tea Party that has been co-opted completely and totally. Mike, I in 2007, 2008, I was one of the first ones protesting, marching to City Hall under George W. Bush, complaining about, I was upset because the first or one of his last acts in destroying capitalism was sending out $180 billion in stimulus in the form of $600 checks. When this Tea Party movement began, when this groundswell of dissent began, it wasn't left or right or Democrat or Republican. It was just people seeing a government out of control. And now, just within about a year and a half, that was co-opted and made into the far right wing of the Republican Party. And fair or not, it's irrelevant. You know, I get people kind of upset with me when I say that, because there is a lot of good people who consider themselves Tea Partiers. You know, they're just middle of the road Americans or wherever they may be listening from. But they get upset when I say this has been co-opted and taken away. But, you know, labels don't matter at this point. Groups, you know, if you call yourself a Tea Partier, if you call yourself a occupier, whatever, it's really irrelevant. I go back to the message needs to be the divide and conquer rhetoric and tactic is full in force. You said the co-opting happens early on. It's happening with this movement at lightning speed. You know, the Tea Party was allowed to develop somewhat before Dick Armey and the Koch brothers came in and gave them funding and support and gave them their own little caucus inside of the House of Representatives. This Occupy movement, man, this thing made it 19 days before the mainstream media showed up. And as soon as the mainstream media showed up in force, we had all the people who wanted to co-opt it show up in force. So look at the stage it's set. Look at the stage we have now going into the 2012 elections here in the United States. We have a co-opted Tea Party that's going to generate all this hostility on the red team against a co-opted Occupy Party. The attempt is going to be to pit one against the other and let confusion reign while the real people that we need to be upset with are the 1% who are running the show.
Yeah, and
well, why don't we
time,
just – define these kind of parties as, you know, the red coats and the blue bloods. I mean, that's basically what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't care what these people think.
Well, and at the same time, you have little Barry Satoro shows up. He's on TV like almost daily. Pass my bill. Congress, even his own supposed party, wants nothing to do with this freaking bill. And they're not afraid to say so. It's like they're adding to the chaos. And everything so you're right. You get the order out of chaos in the end. We'll come back to the old Hegelian dialectic: problem, reaction, solution. As more people lose work, we're ditching 400,000 jobs a week, folks. Oh, we added 100,000. No, that may be great, but you're ditching 400,000 a week. Unemployment starts 400,000 a week has been like this for over 6 months. We're ditching 1.6 million jobs a month.
Yeah, there's no doubt about this. There's no doubt about it. You're right. I mean, we can get a little into statistics. A job report that came out for the month of September, you know, 104,000. And look, even these stats are starting to be realized by the mainstream as meaningless. You know, in a nation of 310 million people, even with a participation rate that goes back to 1984 levels, we have to create 150,000 jobs a month just to break even. So when they come out with 100. Whatever it was yesterday, 105,000, the markets could care less. In fact, I think the Wall Street elite, the more people that are shaved off, that means more margin in their pocket, more profit in their pocket, they tend to rally more. This report that came out yesterday, 104,000, 45,000 of them, nearly half of them were because of the Verizon Wireless strike that ended and those people were rehired. So in real numbers, they were able to show an increase of jobs of about 55,000 people. Again, 150 is the magic number just to break even with 1984 participation rate levels.
Right.
I suppose that everybody now is participating in 1984.
Yeah, they are.
One or the other, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But, you know, but watching these protests, I mean, from the first glance, you know, like, you're going, you know, this is great. This is absolutely wonderful, and you want so much for it to succeed and for it to succeed properly, and to be something meaningful and not just another way to turn them right back to the very people they supposedly detest. I mean, that's the thing. It's almost the joke with the Tea Party is the Tea Party became the very thing they hated.
Yeah, it is. You're exactly right. And there's a lot of frustration in the Tea Party. You know, and it's important to start to clarify, you know, there's I think millions of Americans who consider themselves Tea Party members at heart, but they don't. It's not the same. And there's even a lot of good representatives who were elected in the wave election, but it doesn't really matter what your feelings are if you're associated with this now. It has been manipulated in the lexicon to mean something that it isn't. It is a right wing neocon pro war. entity that is going to be the whipping boy for any austerity that comes down the road. That is what they wanted to turn it into. We want to implement austerity, and the Tea Party won't let us pass any more spending bills. So by God, we'll create a super Congress and give them the authority. So you can see where this is headed with the other movement that's going on right now. I think it really has a chance of failing for the power elite in this instance. Because when the Tea Party started, it was for looking forward. It was looking forward at where the nation and the planet was going. Well, here we are, 3.5 years later, we're there. This anger isn't looking forward anymore. This anger is being generated because of Main Street deterioration. So they can come out and co-opt it all they want, but I think there's going to be many, many people like Mike Chambers, like Vinnie Eastwood and myself, who are going to be out there saying, you know what, there is no difference between most of the people, at least the sentiment, in the Occupy movement and the Tea Party movement. The anger needs to be directed towards the 1% who are still in power from 2008 to 2011 and are going to try to maintain their power in 2012.
You are correct.
I'm really
sir.
Sick of the 2012 build up to the elections and that kind of thing. You know, it's like, who do you want to be president on doomsday?
No kidding.
Yeah. And, we're talking about Barry Satoru. Incidentally, his initials are BS. So that's why I call him President BS, you know, for short.
I hear
you. I've got this real problem with lying politicians. And I suppose everybody really has this problem, some to a lesser degree than others. But it's real fun when you ambush them and shove a camera in their face and ask them a question that they can't wriggle out of, you know, something that has an obvious yes or no answer, like, did you endorse forced vaccinations for little girls, Rick Perry? You know, you love to watch them squirm, because then they instantly know that you know that they're a scumbag, and they try to make their excuses and wiggle on out of there. But that's the basic thing that I think every news journalist and truther in this country really needs to do, basically. Go up to various assorted scumbags and ask them those tough questions and keep doing it, okay? Every time they come to an event or something when you ask for the microphone and a crowd of people or what have you. Don't be afraid about the crowd of people choking you and throwing you out, as happens to some 9/11 truthers. Just do it, because it's a heck of a lot of fun haggling these pieces of crap, because, hey, they deserve it, and it makes you feel much better as a person when you do that to them, because there's nothing more righteous than taking the fight to scumbags. I just love it.
Absolutely, and then make sure you have a cohort there to film the whole thing so it can be run over and over and over again on YouTube or whatever outlet.
Yeah, but I want one of those wingman helmets. Have you ever seen those guys that are like, they jump off sides of cliffs or something, and they've got a wingsuit and they're just flying through there, and they've got like a helmet on that has a camera in it, you know, so you can show exactly where you're going and what have you. It'll be good, because it'll serve a dual purpose. As not only will you film yourself doing all these things, but you'll also be protected against batons and fisticuffs to a certain extent.
Well, that you have a head-on view of them beating the living crap out of you and tasering you after you said, "Hey, sir, do you go to a Bilderberg meeting? Are you a member of Skull and Bone?" Please don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me, bro.
We'll call it the tyranny cam.
The tyranny cam. That's it right there. You probably sell millions of them.
Yeah, for real, man. In fact, you know, you should probably have them have a megaphone built into it as well.
Yeah.
So you can so you can have the ultimate protester attire, and it also has like Inspector Gadget compartments on the sides of it that extend out giant flags or like a banner or something with some allotted message. You know, you can be walking around and you still have both hands free to be tied and bound. And did you see those videos that came out the other day? Some dude was practicing how to get out of those little plastic binders that they're now using on everybody, you know, like for mass arrests. Well,
yep.
if you've got your hands bound behind your back, you can actually bring your hands together up as far as you can, up as high as you can, and then bring them back down as fast as you can on your back and on your hips, and then pull your hands either side, and you can actually break those bonds. Same on the front, you know, just bring your hands up high and then just break them down on your hips, boom, they pop off.
Well, it's a very interesting lesson, Vinny. Thank you very much. I kind of like the battle tyranny, you know, the we look like Power Rangers out there with the secret Inspector Gadget compartments, maybe with some eye wash so we can get the capsaicin out of our eyes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe if you really want to do it all good, you certainly want to have, like, the helicopter attachment that comes out of the top of the helmet so you can, like, fly over the protest and stuff like that and, I don't know, unzip and pee on the officers in the white shirts to leave nice colourful stains on them. Because those seem to be the most aggressive one. Have you noticed it's always the really high-ranking people that are the biggest assholes of all? You know, just kind of really, really ticks me off to no end. You know, they should know better. And the fact of the matter is that they do know better, but they do it anyway. They don't care, eh?
Well, the reason they do that is because they know they're the biggest assholes, and they can get away with being an asshole because they're the best at being the asshole. You know, their mamas told them, if you're going to do something, do it right. And so, well, I'm going to be the best asshole I can be. See me puckered up? See me? Look at me. I'm so puckered. I'm so retentive, you can't even bounce a quarter off of me.
Okay, it's officially weird.
It's gotten weird. Well, hey, but then again, look who you're dealing with. I mean, Heinz Kissinger and his life extension lotion and crap? I mean, come on.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you.
Who can? And who wants to?
Well, and, you know, the fact is, I think from here on out, guys, we are going to see, I think the news is going to start to be dominated by social and civil unrest. And Vinny, I'm not up to speed on New Zealand protest or New Zealand pushback. But I certainly am what's going on inside of Europe and Greece and soon to be Germany and Italy and France, as well as Spain, Portugal, and Ireland, as well as the UK. So I'm assuming New Zealand's going to follow suit. We are going to see more people who are truly, truly, I know this is a political word that we've heard over the last decades, but truly disenfranchised, which is everybody who's not in that top 1%.
Speaking of franchises, did you know that 100% ground beef is a trademark name that McDonald's has?
No, I did not.
So when you go up and they say our patties are 100% ground beef, you see a little R that's circled down there because it's a registered trademark. It's not actually, it's a brand name. It's not actually 100% ground beef. It could be 10% ratless snake meat, if for all we know.
Bird feathers and chicken bones, or whatever you said.
Yeah. Bird feathers and bones, yeah. It seems like when you're making people's food out of something that they used to be sleeping on, you know, like a feathered pillow or something like that, there's something wrong. And I suppose that that's probably part of the reason why people are so ticked off, is because when you're really unhealthy, it's very difficult to maintain your stress levels. And everybody in Wall Street is a bunch of scumbags, criminal, cocaine snorting, prostitution, philandering filth, basically, in a nutshell. And everybody isn't happy about it, right? They've got everything. We've got nothing. And you know why they got everything? Because they took everything from you. There used to be a disparity. There used to be this thing called a middle class, right? Which is fastly disappearing thanks to Fannie Mae and Tranny Mac, which Lady Gaga is incidentally going to be the new CEO of. And everybody's going to be kicked out on the streets. That we've got tent cities now outside of Las Vegas, I hear. And for some reason, people don't go to back into the city center and say, look, we're freaking homeless, okay? Because you know what'll happen? They'll get the riot squads out there. And this is what I find really, really problematic about any form of protesting. Like, we had a protest on October the 1st here in Auckland, and it was just impromptu, you know? We occupied the middle of the street in the center of town, and for about maybe an hour and a half. And then, yeah, a little bit of pressure must have been exerted on the original protest organizers, because sure enough, we were on our way. And then they arrested somebody who was trying to occupy the street further up. And so everybody decided that they would go out on the street as well and occupy it again. However, there were only about maybe 60, 70 protesters tops, and 45 police officers turned out to deal with them. 45 out of versus 60 to 70 protesters. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I've been to, like, maybe, I don't know, at least maybe 30, 40, 50 protests on varying different issues, and I've never seen this many cops turn out for such a small crowd of people. They are really freaked out right now, man. They are really freaked out. There is something going on with humanity, and I don't think the police are prepared for it, frankly.
No, I agree with you. You know, I think that we'll see more clampdown on protest and on speaking out. You know, even these Warren Pollack, who's a normal guest, a regular guest on my program, lives in New York City. And he spoke to the Occupy Wall Street, you know, they herd people like cattle. You can protest here, but you can't cross this line. And people are going to follow those rules for a time, you know, and then it's going to spark into something, unfortunately, that is going to lead to people getting hurt. I mean, it's not my guesswork or Vin Eastwood's guesswork, right? Because we can see it happening right now. In Europe, you know, we already saw the Egyptian protest and riots that led to people literally getting killed. This anger isn't going to be only in the Middle East. This kind of anger, this kind of protest, and eventually, unfortunately, violence isn't going to stay in the Middle East. It's going everywhere because the focus is not on the people, and they feel more and more hopeless as each day passes and each new piece of legislation passes that promises to fix the problem, but in reality the only thing it's trying to do is keep the banks capitalized and funded and in business, and people are truly, truly waking up to that globally.
Yeah, well, I guess you called that. It was Brzezinski called that, what was that, back in April. And then lo and behold, he shows up to talk to his little girl Mika, I love you so, daddy. And what does he say? Hey, we're going to have chaos. We're going to have riots in the streets. We're going to have people upset. Oh, how do you know this? It's like you're psychic or something, T-Big. Because every time you say something, it comes to pass. Wow, who'd have thunk? Get a new book from Z-Big.
Z-Big. Oh, man. We should just
it sounds like the name of a bad rapper. Ladies and gentlemen,
here's
Z-Big.
Yeah. New album out now on Z-Big Records.
T-Bag.
Yeah. Z-Big the T-Bag. I wouldn't mind T-Bag and Z-Big.
And his new hit, NWO Ho. Come on, get it tonight. It's Z-Big.
Yeah.
Here we are weird again.
Different area codes. Yeah, see, NWO and different area codes, you know, by Ludacris, Z-Big on Z-Big Records. There we go. That's going to be fantastic right there. We're global masters, right? This is what these people are, and there's a big criminal cartel of them. Like, we've got the Kissingers, and we've got the big new Brzezinskis, and the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. Yeah, David Rockefeller in particular. God, that guy's a scumbag. And of course, guess who all these people are involved with and have massive corporations, like close to 1,000 massive corporations, all involved with? A big organization called OneWorld.net. That's headed up by Prince Charles, who is the guy whose boat everybody signed the Agenda 21 document on in the Rio in 1992. And what it says on this website is that they're going to use business and government in order to help the community. And go back to what I was saying before about fascism. That's actually what fascism is. It's using the business and government to take control of the community, because as soon as you don't have a government anymore and it's all ruled by corporations, that's fascism. Communism, on the other hand, is allegedly when the government just basically takes control of all the state enterprises, takes control of all the independent businesses, and that's when you got communism. And but of course the end result is the same. They both suck just as bad as each other because they're both created by the same bunch of criminal scumbags, and they both have the central platform of a private central bank. How many of our countries have private central banks at the moment? Oh, wait, they all do. Are we living in fascist economies? You are, yes. Yes, we are, by very definition. Have a look at the U.S. House of Congress, okay? What's on either side of the big podium where the President of the Congress State of the Union address is given? What is on both sides of that big podium? It's an axe wrapped in reeds, which is called a fash, which is the symbol of fascism. I always say, man, ism, ism everywhere, but no one stops to think. They don't even comprehend what kind of government they already have. And this is why protesting, I find, is very interesting, because people will go out protesting about something they know nothing about, but even though they know way more than the general public, hence why they're out protesting. And then right. They'll be protesting and protesting and protesting and be reported in the media as just protesters protesting, and that's what it is in New Zealand here. Like, maybe if you're extremely lucky, like once a year, maybe twice a year or something, a protester will actually be able to be interviewed by the media and get maybe a 12-second soundbite. You know, that's the kind of media reporting we have here. And now, speaking of fascism, in Auckland, New Zealand, we have a new council bylaw which prohibits the handing out of flyers, DVDs, or any form of material. Okay? If you are caught handing out flyers on the street, you will be prosecuted by the city council, and you will have your objects confiscated, including, if you're filming it, your video camera, including, if you're using it, your megaphone, including, if you're doing it, DVDs or flyers, okay? And people, and when I tell people in Auckland this, they say, oh, that's just probably just because of the Rugby World Cup. And I say, well, probably they used it as a justification to get it in there because they don't want New Zealanders to be out there and dispensing information that has reality behind it. Unless, of course, you know, the all the foreign tourists that are coming here, they'll be like, oh, my God, this country has people with political opinions. I'm really upset about that. I just came here to drink the overpriced alcohol and go to these incredibly expensive games where the tickets are so pricey, even the locals can't afford them. You know, what the hell's going on here, man? People don't freaking get it. And it frustrates me as somebody who's trying to get out there and expose what's going on because of the fact that I'm just severely outnumbered. I can't do it on my own, and I really am quite appreciative of all the people that actually share my videos and my links and my radio show around, because, you know, if you're trying to get out there and make a difference, it's impossible to make a full-on difference on your own, all right? However, there are people that are central pillars that, well, basically, without them, whatever organization they're part of wouldn't exist.
I'm hearing you.
Well, let's take the revolution movement or audit the Fed. Would that exist without Ron Paul? No, it wouldn't. However, it wouldn't exist if there weren't people out there supporting Ron Paul. You see what I'm saying? It's a symbiotic relationship. And this is why we've got to be wary of leaders, because leaders can often co-opt movements. But also, more to the point, if they are eliminated, it means that the movements themselves die. You know, it's like cutting off the head of the snake.
Right, right.
And now, when we have, say, 9/11 truth protests down here, for example, or Zeitgeist or something of that nature. And I don't know what your arguments are, but I don't really mind anybody's political dissent, you know, pretty much. I think every discourse needs to be engaged in. But the fact of the matter is they have no leaders of any kind. And they're remarkably successful at working together without any form of leadership. This is what we really need to be thinking about. Cast out that whole idea of needing leaders. You are your own leader. You are the dictator of your own nation state, basically. And without your leadership, without you being proactive, there would be nothing accomplished at all.
I agree with that 100%, Vinny. And I think, you know, you talk about people being out protesting and they don't necessarily know what for, even though they know something's wrong and they are more awake than the vast majority. That is why they're out there protesting. I think that's an excellent point. And I also think that it's almost irrelevant why they're out there, whatever their number one core issue is. Again, I go back to, it doesn't matter if they're pro in the Fed or if they're pro quit screwing the American people or the people of the world by implementing austerity. The anger has to be there in enough numbers in order to affect some kind of change. Because we can come out and say in the Fed till we're blue in the face, and guess what? We might get several hundred thousand people that are of the same like mind. But we need to realize as a group, as humanity, that we are all in the same boat. The whole planet has hit the iceberg together. Regardless of what your core gripe is, let's say, you know, the core gripe I have isn't just Federal Reserve. It isn't just, you know, corruption between Wall Street and Washington, D.C. My corruption is the soft tyranny that encompasses all this that is rapidly turning into hard tyranny.
Well, you know, I was telling my audience here recently is, you know, we may not all like each other. We may have some real differences regarding, one person's religion or this or the way you look, all this. I said, but you know, we better start liking each other real good, because whether we like it or not, we're stuck with each other. And it works a whole heck of a lot better if we'll actually work together as a people and try to come through this as opposed to sit and fight each other all the time.
Yeah, and studies have shown that collaborative partnerships are actually far more productive in a work setting than autocracy or any other form of working together. There was a great experiment that I was sent one time, and it's to do with trucking. Now, here's the experiment laid out. You had two routes, okay? One of them was a very short route, and it had a gate at the front and the end of that route. And the other route was like a way longer. It kind of went around. Now, if you're a trucker, you need to get from point A to B as fast as you can, right? So we got these two trucks here. Now, three different situations with that same track. First situation, each one of the truckers has a control release on the front gate and the back gate. Okay, so what happened is, anybody could, open the front gate for himself and then go through, but unless the other trucker opens the back gate for him, hey, didn't work. Because, hey, you've got to go all the way back round again. And they found that both the people having equal control over the front and the back gate, they didn't make very much money at all. The second experiment was when one person had total control over both the front and the back gates. And they found out that they made a little bit more money, both of them did, than the previous experiment. And the third experiment was when neither of them had control over the gates per se, and they had to work together, and they found out that they made more money than both the other two experiments combined. Okay, this is the way collaboration is supposed to be working. However, we've got so much stratification across everything, all these hierarchies, you know. I remember when I was working in the corporate world, you know, when I became a business account manager, that title was like, whoa, yeah, great, I'm a business account manager. I'm not just a telesalesman anymore. And I realized that, hey, I'm still a slave. I still have a boss. I still have to do stuff that I don't want to do. Other people may look up to me and respect me more, but it's all just because of this title. And if that title was taken off me, I'd have nothing. So in reality, I had nothing. Okay? That's what the illusion is all about. And you were talking before about everybody having all these different gripes and protesting and not making any headway as a result because they don't quite understand their gripes. And it gave me an idea to make a new documentary film called The Gripes of Wrath.
I love it.
Because basically everybody's pretty ticked off about everything at this point, aren't they? You know? I'm really ticked off that electricity and food prices and beer prices are really high, and the other night, guys, I couldn't sleep because I was so ticked off that people thought that the National and Labour Party in New Zealand was a choice. Okay, the blue and the red. The two major big head honchos, Republican Democrat equivalents. Okay, I was tossing and turning in bed. I was keeping the missus up. I had to go sleep on the couch. That's how angry I was. I couldn't help it, because everybody keeps voting for these clowns and they keep screwing them over every single time. I mean, where's memory gone? Can you remember anybody's phone number nowadays? I can't. Because, you know, it all gets put down on a cell phone. We've lost the ability to remember. Does that have something to do with the fact that we forget, you know, whenever we vote or whatever, we never need to remember? Because, it's so much easier. And every 3-4 years or something, you get the opportunity to put one tick on one piece of paper, and you think that's all you need to do in order to contribute to saving your country from tyranny?
Well, I'll tell you that yesterday I went and made a purchase, and I go up and they say, well, our machines are down, our cash register is down, we're having to do this by hand and everything. I said, okay, great. I had bought 22 $1 items. It took the guy 5 minutes to figure it out, even with his calculator, that it was $22.
That's just retarded.
It was, and then he looks at me, and then plus I bought him a cup of coffee and some other things, and it came out to $25.61, and it's like, oh, and you could see this look in the guy's face. He says, "Oh my, you know, the cash register's not going to tell me how much change." Look, I gave him 30. I said, $4.69 or $4.39. Oh, thank you. It's like it was a relief, but he wasn't going to sit there and try to figure out how to stamp it into the calculator to do the subtracting.
Dumbed down.
Oh,
it was
awful. And in some respects, I felt bad for the guy, but on the other side, I'm thinking, you stupid idiot, you're working here and you can't add and subtract. You need a calculator to tell you 22 times 1 is 22.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that's so retarded.
Yes. And he's taking the money. He's the upfront guy taking the money.
I mean, who's doing cash up at the end of the day to figure out how much money the company made that day is what I want to know.
Probably this guy. He's probably CEO.
I mean, well, see, there's the cause of the economic plight right there. People can't add and subtract. Okay, let's give $1 trillion to the banks. Sir, do you know how much money $1 trillion is? Yeah, it's got a couple of zeros on it. Okay, sweet ass, let's just give it to the bankers. You know, it's a clear lack of mathematical processes. I can't believe this, man. Oh, and the fact that the public doesn't wake up to it faster is goddamn scary. Okay, it's really, really scary. Because, look, if we've got such a population that you can literally walk into their house, take their kids, then foreclose on their home, and then tell them to keep paying off that home loan debt, and then tell them that the child protection services, who are raping their kids and beating their kids and flipping them around from all different schools and foster homes and all over the place, is the way it's supposed to be, and people don't wake up to it, then we have some very, very sophisticated brainwashing going on here. And you know, the brainwashing extends in virtually every sector. That's what's the problem about being a conspiracy theorist, to my mind, is that basically everything ties into everything. So in order to explain anything, you've got to explain everything. And people just don't have the time, you know? You start talking about vaccines, and then it starts going on into bio-warfare and psyops and propaganda and mechanisms of that like that, and the World Health Organization tests that prove that vaccines were neither safe nor effective, getting ignored by the global community and all of these sorts of things. All these elements start coming into play, and people, because they don't have that huge quantity of background knowledge or something like that after watching hundreds of documentaries as, say, I have, they just switch off completely. Completely! You know, it's a great, fabulous cognitive dissonance. A little psychological condition that means if you've got a level of comfort, for example, like let's say you believe your government is there to help you, to save you, and to protect you from bad people or what have you, and then somebody tells you 9/11 was an inside job, it completely destabilizes that entire thought paradigm. And so the mind reacts to protect itself by attacking the messenger or flat denial.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we've got here in our nations now, isn't it, guys? We've got people who either refuse to listen at all or attack you for saying anything at all.
Yeah, that's very true. Although, you know, it goes back to the point I was making that whatever is causing a group, you know, an individual or group or a mass of people to protest, whatever their individual reason is, I feel at this point is almost irrelevant. I just want to see, you know, I want to see butts in the street. I want to see people in the street upset. And whatever the cause they're grabbing onto, I don't care. I want them upset because they are part of the masses who are, you know, on this sinking Titanic together. So I think the message that I would like to put forward is don't buy into the tactic of attacking somebody because they might believe something different from you. The fact of the matter is nobody is going to have the background knowledge of everybody, right? Nobody's going to have the spent the time over the last 10 years like you have, Vinny, either protesting at the scores of different protests or watching hundreds of different DVDs or documentaries. The fact is, whatever motivated them to get into the streets is probably a legitimate reason, because they've been disenfranchised because of the top 1%. Stealing everything else from the bottom 99. So if somebody's out there protesting, you know, my pension's about to be stolen from me and I'm in the streets upset about it, great. I don't care if they know about the Federal Reserve. I don't care if they know about, you know, the illegal wars raging around the world and that's their beef. The fact of the matter is everybody is being affected by this ultra uber elite 1%, and whatever motivates them to get in the streets to demand action, I'm for it.
If you realize that your freedom and your liberties are at stake, your very livelihood, your very way of life is at stake, it doesn't matter all the other stuff. If you understand those things are important, get on the frickin' bus. It's time to ride.
Amen.
Yeah.
I agree with that completely. Guys, I want to say real quick, I don't know exactly when we're cutting off, but if you're listening to United We Strike and you want to get into a chat room, we have several people in the Wide Awake News chat room. I've been, during the program, I sent a message to the webmaster to put a feed into the chat room so you can go in there, be in the chat room, listen to the feed right there. So, you know, and this will be open, obviously, all weekend. So whoever wants to take advantage of having a chat room and communicate with like-minded folks, it will be up and running.
You're just such an on-top-of-it kind of guy.
Thanks, Mike.
Right there.
I'm on top of it, all right.
Well, me, I'd have thought about it. I'd say, well, you know, I'll do it next month. Yeah.
I remember when I went on the Charlie show, I think it might have been like a couple of months ago, wasn't it, Charlie? Like you had 167 people in the chat room or something. It was like the Uber chat manifesto in there.
Yeah. It's an exciting chat room, and it's a good chat room. You know, we have some people, we have 4 or 5 monitors, and some of them are there whenever there's anybody in there. And they do a good job of keeping out the spam and keeping out the trolls. And so we have a good chat room. The program, you know, we'll usually have between 150 and 200 people in there every night. So it's a good place to meet up and share thoughts.
That's another thing I wanted to talk about is trolling and people who are like kind of go over your YouTube channels and stuff like that and leave these nasty comments like, like this one here from Mark's Warriors on YouTube. Your videos are Shiite Muslim. I can't say the proper thing on there, but and full of ignorant yobs, in brackets yourself included, who have minimal understanding of the issues you speak on. An economics degree wouldn't go amiss either. How did the economy get in the way it is, if not by people who trust their economics degree?
Right, okay? Exactly.
And people who can't incidentally add up 21 equals 21.
was that a comment on one of yours, Vinny? Or was that pulled off one of mine? Because it could have been off anybody's. You know,
they're the same, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly the same. I get. You know, and to be honest, you know, if I put out a video and it gets 10,000 views, it might get 200, 300 comments, and you know, maybe 1%. are those kind of comments. But you know, and you got to question where that comes from, you know, and what is the mentality behind that? If they hate you so bad, why are they watching it? Number one, and if you're so worthless, if you're not saying anything that bears any credibility or merit whatsoever, why on earth would you sit down and bang out a comment like that? It's pointless to me, and I typically just let it roll off my back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally, bro. Like, I uploaded a video the other day of this guy named Winston Peters, and he's one of the most demonized. I'd pretty much qualify him as the Ron Paul of New Zealand sort of thing. And this guy said it was such a waste of time uploading this and party politicking, and don't you think folks have better thing to do? And, you know, think before you send out mass crud like this, one more like this, and I'm banning you, you're wasting my time. And it's like, bro, did I make you watch the video? No! You know? I mean, seriously, bro, if I could put a gun to your head and make you watch one of my videos, then I think that a comment like that would be justified. But that is just straight up retarded, okay? Retarded. But, and we've got a heck of a lot of that going around worldwide now, don't we? It's like the NRO, the New Retarded Order.
Hold on a minute. I've got a daughter who is mentally retarded, and you're insulting her because she's smarter than a hell of a lot smarter than a lot of these people that come across. My daughter, you look at her and you really can't tell. But when I talk to people about her, they said so she's mentally retarded. I said, yeah, but don't think for a minute that means she's stupid.
Yeah, right. You're right. I mean, but people don't call they call them mentally challenged now, Mike. And retarded has become reserved for those who are actually stupid. Have you noticed?
Well, I think for her the challenge is actually to have to deal with us. Which she has to.
My former producer Mitch Santel, his daughter became I think she's got like the mind of an 8-year-old or something like that, and she's 14 now, and that happened right after her third round of vaccination shot. She had a real bad reaction, destroyed her brain, and now they have to live with it for the rest of their lives, kind of thing. And I didn't even notice, you know, like they just seem like normal people until you start trying to talk to them about complicated things and you realize that they just don't quite get it, but they still keep listening and learning, which is what the alleged, you know, quote unquote retarded people just don't do, you know. that's what happens. I mean, I was told last night my girlfriend was trying to show me some new definition in her leg muscle and I couldn't see it, you know. the mother-in-law told me, Vinny, you know, you're blind, you know that? You can't see things that are really there. And I say, well, at least I don't refuse to look, because she's a, because she's a vaccine promoter.